So I've got a story to tell about my mother that I did not ask for permission to tell, and she's not here today, so she won't know unless any of you guys tell her that I told this story. But I'm going to, unless she listens to it online, I guess there's a fatal flaw there. If she does listen to the sermon later on the internet, then she will know. But sorry, Mom, if you're hearing this right now. A few years ago, probably 6-7 years ago, I got a phone call, and I missed the call from my mom. And then later I saw that there was a voicemail, just a few minutes later, listened to the voicemail, and the voicemail made my heart drop. And the voicemail said, I've fallen and I've broken my ankle, and I'm laying here on the floor in the garage. I was able to crawl over and get to my phone, but I've called 911. I'm hoping you can get here and unlock the door so they don't break the door down to get to me, because I can't get to the door. And so I just immediately, adrenaline and anxiety and all this stuff kind of floods my heart, and I get in my car. I think I was sitting in the car already when I got that voicemail, so then I call her back right away, and I'm just, you know, I can't even talk straight because I'm just kind of worried for her, worried for my mom. I like her, you know. I'm a fan of hers. And so I was concerned, and I got there as quick as I could to their house. They live out in Airway Heights, and I drove out there very fast and got out there and got to the door, and there was some firefighters waiting outside her door that, you know, they're like, if someone doesn't get here soon, we are going to break this door to get to her because she needs attention. So I opened the door, and we get in there, and we go down to where it was in the garage, and she was bringing in groceries, and there's some steps from her garage down to the downstairs, the basement area of their house, and then she was going to bring the groceries down and then bring them up the stairs. She missed a step and just stepped just right and totally snapped her ankle. It broke her ankle, and was laying there. I mean, she's instantly crumpled to the ground, surrounded by groceries, and somehow was able to get to her phone and call 911, and then immediately followed by a call to me. And I am just in a intense state of anxiety in this moment. I am like, I hate the fact that my mom is in pain. I hate the fact that she had to wait even a moment longer for me to hurry out there, to get out there to unlock the door for her. And I am just overcome with emotion in this moment. And then I see her there on the ground. I see that the firefighters are taking care of her. And I get really emotional. Like, I'm crying. And one of the firefighters comes over to me, a woman firefighter comes over, EMT or whatever, and says, she's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. You know, she's going to be okay. And I'm like, I know that. I know she's going to be fine, but it was still just an anxious situation and one of those situations where it just made me very emotional. And that was the reaction. Only reaction I could come up with was not calm and you're going to be just fine, Mom, but just intense emotion. And I was thinking about the difference between my response to this emergency situation and the first responder's response to this emergency situation. The circumstances for us were entirely different. For me, that was my mother, and I desperately wanted to help her, couldn't really help her at that time. There wasn't anything I could do other than get there a little bit faster so I could open the door sooner or whatever. And me not sure exactly how bad it is, and I know she's going to need medical attention and all this and get an ambulance ride and things like that. And the firefighters' response, their circumstances were entirely different. This was a citizen that they were there to care for. They had had tons of training, and they dealt with things far more serious than this. And so that's why they were able to be absolutely calm and say and be a source of comfort for my mom, and why I was not. You know, I was kind of a mess and emotional and really concerned for her in that moment. But the circumstances were entirely different for me or for the first responders. And for many of us, we find ourselves in one of those two positions depending on what the circumstances are. You are sometimes the very anxious person, or other times you're the very calm person, depending on the circumstances with whatever situation you're facing that day. You can be really calm, you can be really anxious. It's all a matter of what the circumstances are. We're in this series right now where we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and it's called Signs of Life. And today we're talking about peace. Today we're talking about this underlying deep sense of calm, comfort, peace that comes from God. This series is called The Signs of Life, and in it we've been talking about this list from Galatians 5:22, where Paul says these are the fruit of the Spirit, singular word, fruit of the Spirit, but we're looking at these individual fruits. And these are what a life that is following Christ, a life that is walking with the Spirit, produces these things, collectively known as the fruit of the Spirit. They are signs of life. And so we're starting with today talking about peace. We've talked about love, we've talked about joy. Today we're on the third fruit of the Spirit, and that is peace. Peace in the original language is this Greek word, irene. It's pronounced in the Greek Irene, or Irene, but it's spelled the same way as the name Irene. If you looked at it, the kind of English transliteration spelling would be Irene. And it means confidence and rest in the wisdom and sovereignty of God more than your own. It is a deep sense of well-being. It is this presence of contentment, or what the Bible refers to as shalom, which includes even more than just contentment. It's not just a lack of conflict, but it's the presence of this fullness of peace. And one of the best passages of Scripture to talk about this fruit of the Spirit is Philippians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or on your electronic device, or it'll be on the screen behind me as well. Philippians 4, and we'll start at verse 4 in just a moment. This is the most well-known passage in the Bible, I believe, that talks about peace. So we'll jump in right here, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This passage starts with talking about what to do when peace is lacking. What do you do when you're in a moment where you're more like me, you know, than the first responder? You're full of anxiety, full of emotion, based on whatever the circumstances that you've been presented with. What do you do when peace is lacking? Paul, speaking to this church in a city called Philippi, he says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And that reminds us of what we talked about last Sunday, how that to rejoice is a choice, that we have a choice in a moment to look for joy and to drill down into this deep source of joy that believers in Christ have access to. That we can, regardless of what's going on, we can find joy in Christ, because Christ promised that there would be this, for those of us who are his followers, there would be this, like, springs of living water welling up within us. And we sometimes need to get the drill out and kind of drill down into that a little bit, but to rejoice is a choice, right? And so he reminds us of that right here in the very beginning. But then the second thing he does, which is an action step for any of you when you are struggling with whatever the circumstances are that you've been presented with, whatever news you heard, whatever the situation is, when you feel that anxiety rise up, when you feel the emotional response to bad news happen, here's what he tells us to do. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in short, pray about it. Turn whatever that anxiety is into a prayer request. And he says specifically that it's a certain kind of praying. He says, pray, let everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is this idea of request, you know, asking for something, with thanksgiving. That's the important description of how we're supposed to pray. So in everything, like, turn whatever you're anxious about into a prayer request, but make sure you do it with a grateful heart. Because when you are thankful for God's, you know, presence in your life, thankful for the fact that he's got things under control when you don't, I mean, that puts you in a more prayerful and a more correct heart or state of mind when you're praying. Because I don't know about you, but I've definitely prayed prayers before in the past that didn't have that thankful part, and were more like kind of a spoiled kid asking for something. You know, like, why are you making me go through this kind of prayers? You know, come on, God, I thought we had a deal. Like, I was at church, I've been serving you, you know, things are supposed to go better, right? That's kind of that more of a spoiled kind of kid prayer, right? That's not the kind of approach we should take. But guess what? If that's all you've got in that moment, God can handle that, right? God's bigger than your bad attitude. God can handle whatever you're going to throw his way. But I think overall, like, if that's all we can ever muster up is those kinds of prayers, we're missing something. And so as we mature, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, our prayers should be less like that kind of spoiled kid and more like just a grateful, like, God, grateful for what he's done in the past, grateful for what he's going to do in the future, grateful that he's with you in that moment, whatever it is you're facing. So turn those anxious feelings into a prayer and get in the habit of doing that. Say, God, here's what I'm dealing with. You know, this isn't a surprise to you. It was a surprise to me. How am I going to deal with this? God, help me with this. Here's what's going on. Please help. Right? And I'm thankful to you. And then it says, pray that way. Let your prayer requests be made known to God. And then verse 7 is beautiful. Verse 7 is an amazing passage of Scripture, amazing verse. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this word peace is described in a beautiful way. And there's three things about this peace that we need to understand. The first thing is it is of God. It's from God. So like these other fruits, this peace wasn't just something you came up with on your own. Right? If it was, it wouldn't work as well. We need the real deal, which is from God. And it is a gift from God. It is a fruit of the Spirit that comes from God. It is divinely given. We don't just somehow go, I think I can, and kind of grit our teeth, and then all of a sudden we have peace. It is something that comes from this relationship with God. It is something we ask God for, something God gives us, something as we're walking with the Spirit, we are given. It is a fruit. It is just the produce of that. It just comes. The second thing about it is that it surpasses all understanding. And I think for this concept is important for us because when we think about peace sometimes, we think about where it's reasonable to have peace and where it's not. You know, there are times when like, oh, okay, you're going through something that would make some people anxious, but really the difference between you not being anxious and someone else is that you've been through this before. So I'm like, I just flew on a bunch of airplanes the last week and you know, there are some people that are very nervous about that. And for me, I'm not. It's something I've been through a number of times. And, you know, I've been through turbulence before, and it doesn't cause me a lot of anxiety. I'll be anxious when the flight attendants are anxious, you know, on the turbulence. But for others, you know, that for me, that doesn't, it's not surpassing understanding that I would be peaceful in that moment, and it's not a big deal. But there are times when we're walking through our lives and we go, okay, it's reasonable to have peace with this kind of news. It's reasonable to have peace when you're struggling this way. And then you keep going and going, and like if things get really bad, there comes a point when it's still possible to have peace from God, but we say that is beyond understanding at that point. Like the only way that someone could have peace when they've gotten bad news, negative things have happened, they're concerned about their job, they lost their job, they've got health issues, and they pass a point where they're somehow still having peace when it does not even make sense to have peace anymore for anybody looking at it from the outside. How do you still have peace when you've gotten all this bad news, when you've gone through all these difficult situations, and now you're standing here in a place where you feel comforted and at peace and calm? How? How does that even happen? That's what Paul says God gives us. It's the peace of God that just passes all understanding. So that when you're over here in a situation where you can't imagine, you would never pick to be over there. You'd never pick to struggle with what you've had to struggle with, but you're somehow still at peace with God because God gave you that. God put that into you, and God, it was a gift of God, the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. You don't ever choose to be out here with your struggles, but you're going to want to have that kind of peace when you are here. The third thing we're told about this peace, the way that it's described by the Apostle Paul, is that it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It guards us where we are vulnerable. And I don't know if you know how vulnerable you are with your heart and your mind. You know, we think about the heart is kind of the center of our emotions, and the mind is where our thoughts happen. And so both places are very vulnerable. And if you were a government leader or the leader of a military force somewhere, you would put guards in the places where you are most vulnerable to theft or most vulnerable to attack or somehow spies getting in and infiltrating or sneaking in somehow. And the same thing is true of your heart and your mind. When you think about your relationship with Christ, you think about troubles you face and where anxieties come from. You are vulnerable in your emotions, and you're vulnerable in your thoughts. And Paul says the peace that comes from God guards those parts of us, right? It helps us with our thought life. It helps us with how we feel about things. He goes on to describe more about what he means about the thoughts specifically, and I think the emotions as well, in the next two verses 8 and 9. Let's read those now. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul says, if you're feeling anxious, when you're in these moments where anxiety is overwhelming you, and you have this emotional response to whatever circumstances you've been presented with, he says, in that moment, turn those into prayers. Turn those anxieties into prayers and be thankful in that moment. Have a grateful heart when you're asking for God's help. And then he says, this peace that's of God, it's divine in its nature. It just passes all understanding, meaning you can have peace in circumstances that are hard to wrap your mind around, and it guards you where you're vulnerable. Now he says, we need to cultivate an environment of peace. Your thought life, you need to make when you think about your life and think about the way you think about things, that so that you can have peace in moments, not just like when you're sitting with an ice cold drink on a hammock between some palm trees on a beach. That makes sense that someone would be peaceful in that moment. But when things are negative, when you've gotten bad results, or you're struggling with a relationship or something like that, that in those moments too, when you feel like everything should be falling apart, you can somehow have peace in those moments. We also need to cultivate this environment in our own hearts and our own minds where we have peace, where peace can flourish. And he says here that, think about certain things, right? He says true things, honorable things, just things, pure things, lovely things, commendable things, excellent things, things that are worthy of praise. In other words, you have the power to think some things and to not think some other things. Like, you actually have the power to do that. That when a thought pops into your head, you don't have to entertain that thought. You could think about something else. You have the power to do that, and you also have the responsibility to do that. You know, you don't have to let your mind dwell on past hurts or past struggles. That we can redirect the way what our thoughts are, what our minds are thinking about. And I think one of the things that are very important here is he says, think about true things. I mean, these are all important descriptions that he offers about what our thoughts should be. But man, so many of the things that we struggle with are not even true. So many of the thoughts that we entertain are just lies. They're not truth at all. And we need to cultivate this environment of peace by allowing ourselves to think about certain things and to not think about other things, to really not let things have power over us. I've heard it said that this is the difference between listening to your heart versus talking to your heart. That there's a difference here where it's, we can just listen to whatever pops in our mind or whatever pops in our heart, and we just listen to it and let it just take kind of control over our day and let it affect our day. Or we can talk to ourselves. We can actually, in a way that, you know, I think is productive and healthy, kind of communicating to our own hearts and minds and thinking, like, why are you feeling like this? Like, what is going on? Let's think about things that are true and honorable and excellent things instead of whatever these negative thoughts are that I'm thinking. You know, David's example in one of the Psalms, he says, my soul, why are you cast down? And he's having a kind of a conversation with his own soul, his own inner life, like, what's going on here? Why are you struggling the way you're struggling right now? We need to speak peace to our own hearts. We need to speak words of truth and words of peace into our own hearts sometimes. And there are times where, you know, I've had moments where I've felt anxious or I've struggled, and I've just had to take a moment to myself. You know, if you're out in public or something, I'd go to the restroom and just kind of have a quiet moment and think about, like, true things and try to get my mind and pray a prayer, like, God, I'm angry right now. I'm struggling with insecurity or anxiety or whatever it is, and God, you know what's going on. Please help me right now in this moment. And then that kind of where you put a halt to it. And just say, right now, I'm gonna think about other things, and I'm gonna get my mind and my heart in the right place. We need to be able to do that. That should be a Christian practice and a part of your life. And then Paul says something that could strike us as prideful in our culture today, but he says, follow, like, what you've seen in me, like, you've learned and you've received and you've heard and you've seen all these things in me. Practice those things, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, I'm a good model for you. Like, he's living his life in such a way that he feels like he is a good model. They can look at him and follow his life, and they'll turn out well, that things will go well for them if they do the kind of spiritual practices that they've seen him do. And they have the kind of mindset that Paul had, that it'll be good for them. And I'm always challenged when I read Paul say something like that. There's a number of places in the Bible where he says something similar to that. Like, if you want to see how to follow Christ, just look at me and do what I've been doing. That is a challenge for me as a dad. It's a challenge for me as a pastor to go, like, could people just observe me and learn enough about just how to follow Christ just from looking at me, you know, just from watching my model and seeing the way I live my life. I hope that's true, you know, and for those of you in any kind of position of influence in your families or even just you got a lot of friends or whatever, and people are watching you. People want to see how you do this and how you live your Christian life. Could you say that also? Could you say, just do what I do, and you'll be in a pretty good place when it comes to your relationship with Christ? He says, he starts out by talking about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and then he ends this section in verse 9 talking about the God of peace. And we can have the peace of God because we have the God of peace. I find that comforting, that we, because we have this relationship with God, the peace of God is available to us because we have the God of peace. Now, verses 10 through 13, let's read this last portion of Philippians 4 together, or the last that we'll cover this morning. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So Paul just said, hey, look at my life. You can see kind of an example of what it means to follow Jesus. And then he goes, I want to tell you about my own situation, the way I think about my life. And he's also thanking them because the church at Philippi had sent him a financial gift to help and support him in his ministry. And so he brings up the gift and he doesn't directly thank them, but he acknowledges the gift. And he says, I want you to know that I have learned how to live my life even without gifts like these. I'm so thankful for it, but I haven't really been in need. I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And that word content, it literally means in the original language contained. It means kind of self-sufficient. And Paul's using it in a way that different from the philosophers of his day. The Stoics of his time would say that the ultimate good for a man or a woman would be to be a self-sufficient, self-contained, you know, individual that can face whatever comes their way without any concern. And I think Paul would agree with that, with the giant exception of God is all involved in that. It's not, you're not self-sufficient, you're entirely reliant upon God. So between you and God, you can handle whatever comes your way. Paul also says he's learned the secret to being content. He's learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And again, in the original language, in the original Greek, it's this idea of initiation. It's the word that would get used for secret groups and their initiation rites and how they're told some secret information that kind of invites them into the group, secret information in an initiation rite. And Paul's saying, I've been taught this, like this, I've been initiated into understanding how to be content, how to face anything. And it's not a secret because he tells us in verse 13, what the answer to this, what the secret is. And it's that he can do everything through God who gives him strength. See, what Paul is saying here is that he has decoupled contentment and circumstances. And that is peace in action. That's peace defeating anxiety. And here's what I mean by that. I want to show you a picture of a train coupling. Let's put that up there. This is a train coupling, right? This is how we attach train cars to one another. Right, so the idea is that for us, for almost all of us, and certainly at different times, and we can maybe have victory at one time or another, but our contentment and our circumstances are entirely linked. They are coupled together. Train coupling, you can kind of see it, those things push together, and then once they push together, they kind of lock into place, right? And then, so wherever that train car on the left goes, that one on the right also goes. It is completely attached, and it is at the mercy of the train car in front of it. It is coupled together with a coupling, right? And you have to like disengage that coupling to get those train cars separated. And for many of us, our circumstances and our contentment are exactly like that. We are only content when circumstances are going well. We're only feeling good or at peace when things are fine around us. And it's really hard for us to feel at peace when the circumstances don't match up with our peace. Paul says, they are separated. They are decoupled, circumstances and contentment. That my circumstances can be great and I'll be content, but my circumstances can be going poorly and I'll also be content. I can face plenty, I can face hunger, I can face abundance, I can face need. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He has decoupled contentment and circumstances. It's like the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. This is an old illustration that you may have heard before in sermons many years ago, but this idea that thermostats and thermometers, that a thermometer just registers what's going on around it. Whatever it's in his environment, it is reflecting. It goes up or down based on what the environment tells it to do, right? Whatever the temperature is in the room, the thermometer does not control it, it simply reflects it, and it goes up or down. And that's us when our circumstances are telling us whether or not we can be content. We are just at the mercy of the environment around us. But a thermostat controls the temperature. A thermostat actually makes a difference in the room. You adjust the thermostat, it'll get warmer or colder. And so it affects its environment more than the thermometer, which is entirely affected by its environment. And that's someone who's able to be content even when the circumstances do not match up, because they have the peace that just goes way beyond all understanding. And that's what Paul had. That's what Paul says we can have. That's what Paul's telling his friends at this church in Philippi that they can have. It says, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. So regardless of whatever circumstances come your way, you might be back on your heels for a little bit, but then you settle back into what you normally, your normal peaceful state, right? Not that you'll never be sad again. I think emotion is the right response in situations, but when you kind of get back to your whatever your middle is, kind of wherever you end up landing after the circumstance knocks you back for a moment, you go back to a peaceful place. Place of peace. Our circumstances are the arena of our spiritual growth. One of the commentaries I was reading in preparation for the message said that. I think that's very true, that where we know and where we actually do the most growing is where our circumstances hit us. So when we face difficult things, that's when we grow. I mean, that is the field, the arena for our growth itself, are our circumstances. The opposite of peace is anxiety, we talked about. That when you're feeling anxious, we're given an action plan, which is to pray, to put those things into words in a prayer. And the opposite of peace is anxiety, but peace also has a counterfeit. The counterfeit to peace, where it kind of looks like peace, but it's really not, it's called apathy. It's this I don't care attitude. That's actually not peace, right? It's not resignation. It's not saying like, well, I'm not going to let this get me down, and you just kind of turn off whatever emotional reaction you might have had to the circumstances, you just kind of shut down. That's not peace. I think sometimes we get confused. It's a counterfeit for peace, so it kind of looks like, resembles it might be peace a little bit, but that's not peace, because peace is not an absence of anything. It's not an absence of conflict. It's not an absence of caring. It's the presence of something, right? Peace takes in its surroundings and looks at what the situation is and understands it accurately, but still rests in God. It says, I trust God. God's got this handled too. God's handled things in the past. I'm going to pray about this, but I'm not going to let it rock me down to my foundation or just totally uproot me, because God's got this. God is in control. In Psalm 46, there's this passage that I come back to time and time again, because I need to and because you need to. You need this concept as much as we all need this as much as any of us. But Psalm 46, and the one verse that'll be on the screen is verse 10, but I want to read quickly the kind of build up to verse 10, because I think it helps us understand that we can take in our circumstances and really understand and still have peace with God. Psalm 46, 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Yeah, that sounds good. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Here comes some more bad news. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. There's a lot of chaos in this chapter. I mean, it's just like, well, there's mountains moving, there's nations raging, kingdoms tottering, there's all this kind of chaos going on. And then verse 10 doesn't seem like it fits until you understand the kind of peace that Paul's talking about. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It is this concept of understanding that even in the middle of situations, having an accurate view, it's not just pretending like that's not happening or just thinking happy thoughts and ignoring stuff. It's actually considering the reality, but then directing our thoughts towards things of God and taking it all in, but saying, the God of Jacob is my fortress. God, be still and know that I am God. In other words, what do we know about God? What can we think of when it comes to God, even in the middle of chaos, even in the middle of earth-shattering news, even in the midst of all of these things? It's like another psalm, Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2, says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Verse 2, this should be our approach to life. This should be our approach to chaos. This should be our approach to our circumstances. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. This idea of being held, right, by a mother as a baby, as a very young child, and not squirming around because they're hungry, but just this calm, comforted sense of being totally relaxed. And, you know, having a baby myself right now with our Sophie, who's 3 months old now, walking around with her, I get a sense of that, you know, where they're kind of squirmy and then just relaxing. And she'll smile at me sometimes while I'm walking around with her, just kind of let her arm hang down, eventually fall asleep, of course, because that's very relaxing. And I always joke around like, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have a giant person walk around with you and you could just relax, or, you know, have an adult-sized car seat that like Shaquille O'Neal could walk around with you in, you know? That'd be so nice. But I think it's this kind of, we can do that with our souls. We can do that inwardly with our spirits, right? That we have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like, I'm just this sense that our souls are calm, our souls are at peace. We do not need to rage and rave and feel all this anxiety that we do so many times. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whatever may come your way, you can handle with Christ who gives you strength. If you're one of his children, you have access to this peace. If you're not one of his children this morning, I invite you, I encourage you to put your faith in Christ and begin following him today to receive this incredible gift and experience this kind of peace firsthand. I hope you'll do that today. So I have some questions I want to finish with this morning. Do you find yourself, I'll just read it this way. Do I find myself, okay, so this is a question to ask yourself. Do I find myself frazzled by the crashing waves of turmoil in my life, or am I experiencing the peace which surpasses all understanding? Like, what's more, do you feel more like just the wave comes in all the time and you're just up and down, depending on circumstances? Or do you feel like you're experiencing that kind of peace that surpasses all understanding? Second question, do you see your heart and your mind as vulnerable? Do you see that? Do you really grasp this concept that your heart and your mind need to be guarded by the peace of God? Because you're vulnerable at the point of your emotions. You're vulnerable in your mind to thinking thoughts that will just drain the peace away from you, that you need that kind of peace. You need that peace as a guard for your life. Do you see yourself as vulnerable in those areas? When you pray, are you more like the whiny, kind of ungrateful child we talked about, or the grateful and content child? More like this kind of concept of being held like a weaned child with a calm soul being held by its mother. Which one are you more like when you pray? What are your typical prayers more like? I think you may see an area where you need to grow when it comes to that. Here's another, this is a very specific one, and this may be helpful for you, but are world events constantly putting you into a state of fear? When you read the news, do you feel like your response is mostly fear? You just kind of are fearful about natural disasters or wars or what's going on in this country. Are you, in general, when you think about the world, are you fearful? Are you put in the state of do you ever kind of like panic or feel like severe anxiety or just a lot of fear over the world events? And maybe for you, the very specific group that I'm talking to right now, that you'd say, yes, very much, that I'm like always feeling anxious about what's going on in the world. Maybe for you, the news and the constant access we have to the news, maybe for you when Paul says think about pure things and good things and true things, maybe the news for you needs to have a smaller role in your life. Maybe as a discipline, you need to actually practice thinking on these things that Paul talks about, and for you, the news may not be compatible with that. And maybe it should have a smaller role in your daily activities. The news, I mean, they listen, people get money off of getting you fired up or making you fearful or making you angry about something. People get page views, they get, you know, all these things that translates into advertiser dollars. If you'll watch all the 24-hour news cycles, you're going to watch all the TV advertisements. And so people they literally are making money off of like fueling panic and fueling fear or fueling anger in you. And so maybe for you, you need to kind of withdraw yourself from that a little bit and make some practices just for your own spiritual life that you know, to help you have that kind of peace that passes all understanding. For all of us this morning, I hope that the next time you're feeling anxious, even if it's right now, I think right now, as we close in prayer in a moment, this may be your action step to take. Make your requests known to Jesus. Make your requests known to the Lord. The things that bring you fear, bring you anxiety, turn them into prayer requests. Okay, turn them into your prayers and say, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what is going on. What an incredible promise from Paul here that we get to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's my prayer for all of you this morning, is that you would experience that in a very deep and a very real way. For those of you who aren't followers of Christ today, I encourage you to put your faith and trust in Christ, to confess your sin, to say, God, I need you to save me. I need you to change my life. I want to give my life to you. I want to begin following you. Lord, will you be my Savior? We've actually put a prayer inside your program that you got when you came in. It just says it's a prayer of belief, and it's there. There's nothing magical about these words, but they're there for us to offer to you and say, hey, use this as a guide to help you make that decision, help you put into words the decision you'd like to make to put your faith in Christ. Maybe for some of you right now, that's your action step, is to pray this prayer and to mean it and to put your faith in Christ. Hope you'll do that. May we cultivate an environment of peace. May we put our prayers, our anxieties into prayers. I want to read these verses 6 and 7 one more time of Philippians 4, and then we'll close in prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, right now, all around the room, people are dealing with different levels of anxiety about different things, different circumstances that they've encountered, different things, that maybe news they've gotten this week, or maybe someone they care about that's really struggling right now, and it's a loved one, family member, and they don't know how to help, but they're just feeling anxious about it. They don't. Lord, I pray that you would help us to Lord, be in the habit of regularly bringing those anxieties to you. And so right now in this room, I pray that people all over this room would be doing that. Put their anxieties into prayers and just lift them up to you and know that you're with them. And may they be, Lord, prayers of gratitude, even though that feels difficult when we're struggling. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have hearts of gratitude. And Lord, I pray that your peace that you talk about in your word, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, that it is a gift from you, I pray that that would be the reality for all of us here today, Lord, without exception. Pray that we would all experience that this morning. And Lord, just, Lord, your peace that would guard our hearts and our minds. Lord, for those people, all of us, to struggle with this to one degree or another, to think the kind of things that are worthy of praise, to think of these true things and to think of excellent things. Lord, I pray that for those in the room that are struggling with that particular aspect, they're just, their minds and their hearts are so cluttered by all kinds of things that just bring them fear, bring them anxiety. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your peace would flood those parts of their lives, that you would help them to direct their thoughts towards you. We thank you, Lord. Hey, I want to take just a moment. I'm just going to give you a moment to respond right now. So wherever you are, it's just going to be silent in this room for a few moments. And I want to encourage you to put your anxieties into prayer. If there's one thing that like rose to the surface for you while we were talking that you're like, yes, I need to pray about that, would you take just a moment and pray about that? If you're struggling with thinking thoughts that don't bring peace, that don't cultivate peace, and would ask God to help you think of true things, help you to think of these good things that bring you peace and to cultivate that environment of peace. So I don't know what your area of response is, but I want to just give you a moment. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds right now of silence to just put those things into prayer. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, let's just have a moment together of prayer, just quietly wherever you're at, however you feel led to respond. For those in this room, I want to give you an opportunity with your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment longer. I'm going to pray a prayer. And it's the prayer in the bulletin here. And I'm going to kind of just give you a moment of silence after each phrase. And I want to invite you that anyone today that wants to make this decision to put their faith in Christ and begin following him today, make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, your leader and the one who saves you. I'm going to just kind of pray through this prayer. And if you want to just pray each line after me, as your way of responding, that would be amazing. So I'm just going to pray this prayer. If you bow your heads and keep this kind of prayerful moment with me, let's pray together. Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that my sin deserves to be punished. I believe you took my place. You died on the cross. You rose from the grave. Thank you for paying my debt. Thank you for bearing my punishment. Thank you for offering forgiveness. I turn from my sins and receive you as Savior. Amen.